With 23 million Americans out of work, the stakes are dire for many families if more help is not on the way. There remain deep divisions among lawmakers. To shed light on where things stand, I spoke just moments ago with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Mr. Majority Leader, thank you very much for joining us. The Chief of Staff at the White House, Mark Meadows, has just said in the last few minutes that they are nowhere close to a deal between the two sides on COVID relief. Given the division among Republicans, members of your own party, does that mean these benefits, additional unemployment benefits, are going to lapse on Friday?
Well, I certainly hope not. Neither side would like for that to happen. And, you know, many things around here happen at the last minute. This is only Wednesday, so hope springs eternal that we'll reach some kind of agreement, either on a broad basis or a more narrow basis to avoid having an adverse impact on unemployment.
Well, speaking of a more narrow basis, our Lisa Desjardins reported that something like 20 members of your Republican caucus have problems with the proposal, the larger Republican proposal that you outlined the other day. Given that, are you seriously looking at some sort of slim down short-term deal here?
Well, we're looking at all options. Of course, the Secretary Mnuchin and Chief of Staff Mark Meadows are doing the negotiating with the Democrats. But you're right, Judy. About 20 of my members think that we've already done enough. They're deeply concerned. And it's understandable about the size of our national debt now, which is as big as our economy for the first time since World War II. And so I do have a reasonable number of members who don't think we ought to do another package. That's not my view, and it's not the majority of our conference view, nor is it the view of the president. We have divided government, so we have to sit down with the Democrats and work out something, and hopefully we'll begin to do that before the end of the week.
Well, what's going to make the difference? Because today, none other than the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, is again saying the economy needs the kind of boost that it got in the spring from the congressional COVID relief package. He's urging Congress to do something like that again. How do you turn your members around who say we've already done enough?
Well, I agree with the chairman that Fed, we need to do more. I'm sure he didn't put a number on it. The issue is how much. The Democratic House wanted to add $3 trillion to the national debt, as much as we added back in March and April. We think that's clearly far beyond what is necessary to get us through this next period as we continue to wrestle with the coronavirus, which is simply not going away anytime soon. We all know that. And until we get a vaccine, we can't begin to put this in the rearview mirror. So the economy does need more help. We have divided government. We have to talk to each other, and we have to try to get an outcome.
You have made the argument steadily, Mr. Majority Leader, that the reason the benefits, these additional $600 a week in benefits, shouldn't be continued is that it's an incentive for many people not to go back to work, just to stay home. But we've looked at what economists are saying. They're saying there's just no measurable evidence that people are staying home because of that. They say if they are staying home, it's because they don't have a job to go back to, or they don't have child care, or they have a serious worry about getting sick.
I don't know which economist you're talking about, but a huge percentage of people in that category are choosing based upon the fact that they can make more staying at home, not an irrational decision when you look at the numbers, are reluctant to go back to work. So unemployment insurance is extremely important, particularly at a time of high unemployment like we have now. And it ought to be operating like it has traditionally. But to pay people more to stay home and to go back to work, we think, is a mistake. And I don't know which economists you're citing, but there are huge numbers of small business people all across the country, almost without exception, telling us, and I'm sure telling the Democrats as well, that this is a deterrent to getting back to work.
Well, there are a number of them, but let me just be very specific. We put a call out through social media asking people to let us know about unemployment benefits. We had something like 2,000 people responding, including a woman named Latrice Wilson. She's from Kentucky, your home state. She says that $600 additional a week allows her to pay for the medicine she needs for her autoimmune disease and to pay for her daughter to continue to go to college. What do you say to someone like Mrs. Wilson?
What I'm saying to Mrs. Wilson is you're probably going to be eligible for the $1,200 additional cash payment that we would make under our proposal, the same as with back in the CARES Act, direct cash straight into your pocket out of our package. So yes, those are people who do have significant concerns, and we address that with a $1,200 direct cash payment.
Let me ask you about a number of other things very quickly. Government reports are right now, Mr. Leader, that as many as 26 million Americans, most of them with children, say they aren't getting enough to eat these days. We know that for very young children, that can be incredibly harmful. The Democrats' plan right now increases food stamp or SNAP benefits by 15%. The Republican proposal would not extend those increased benefits. Why not?
Well, I'm sure when we sit down to talk to the Democrats, that'll be an area we discuss. But of course, one thing that's extremely important to make sure children are well-fed is to get them back in school. And we actually put more money in our proposal than House Democrats for education. That's both K through 12 and college. And to the extent that these local school districts are allowed to make the decision to let their children come back to school, that'll take care of a lot of the, you know, for many of these kids, the best meal they get of the day is the one they get at school. So getting them back in school, I think, is an important step in the right direction.
There's also a question about housing. Democrats would ban evictions, continue to ban evictions. Are you prepared, I mean, as early as this next week and coming weeks, to see people thrown out of their house or apartment because they can't afford to make rent or mortgage payment?
Yeah, and I think that's the sort of thing we ought to be talking about with the Democrats to try to get to a solution.
Aid to state and local governments, Mr. Majority Leader. Democrats are asking for $1 trillion almost in aid to pay these frontline workers, people who are out there working because they have to despite the coronavirus. The Republican bill, nothing in there for these state and local government workers. Why not?
Judy, as you know, every state budget has two really big items, education and Medicaid. Our proposal puts more money in for education than the Democratic proposal. Education aid is aid to state and local government. And so we think that is an excellent way to infuse cash. In addition to that, the previous $150 billion that we sent down to states, much of which has not been dispensed yet, we would change the formula, change the proposal to allow them to use it in any way they choose, even including revenue replacement. So in both of those ways, we think we provide additional assistance to states and localities.
Two other very quick things. You have said you don't like the idea that there's $1.8 billion in this plan for a new FBI building in Washington, coincidentally across the street from the Trump Hotel. You've said you want only COVID material in this bill. Why not just say no to the White House on this? And by the way, there's money, another $8 billion in this bill for military materiel, F-35 fighters and so forth.
Yeah, well, in the House bill, for example, there's a tax cut for high-income people in blue states and all kinds of things related to marijuana and the legalization of assistance to illegal immigrants. I mean, my point was, Judy, I think all of the things that are not related to the COVID-19 fight ought to come out, whether it's the FBI building or whether it's a tax cut for wealthy people in blue states.
So can you just say no to the White House on the FBI?
I would say no to all of these unrelated COVID-19 items that both sides have made an effort to inject into the debate.
And finally, in the wake of more members of Congress testing positive for COVID-19, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is saying she is considering a requirement that everyone on the House side of the Capitol wear a mask. Would you consider that kind of requirement in the Senate?
Well, we've had good luck without a requirement. I believe just about every one of my members is wearing a mask, and we have since the 1st of May when we resumed. And I think we've been following the guidelines of the Capitol physician, properly socially distanced, wearing a mask, which I had on until I stepped up to the microphone to talk to you. And we've had good compliance with that on the Senate side without a mandate. And so we're getting compliance, the voluntary, in the old-fashioned way. Everybody's doing it.
Would you consider a requirement, though, if necessary?
It appears not to be necessary since everybody seems to be doing it.
All right, we will leave it there. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just moments ago, after that interview, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, announced that everyone, both members and staff, are now required to wear a mask in the entire House of Representatives complex.